In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, geta to our PNG audience and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aruna, and for the final time in 2025, malola lei to my co-host Sammy Wykes. Sammy, we are here.
Final episode for 2025. I can't believe it's already come around. 4 years ago, we thought we were only going to have one show. Then we get two shows. Now we're here. And,
it's been 4 years.
Three years. It was soon to be 4 years.
Is that how long it feels now, Sammy? Come on.
Hanging with you every Monday and Friday has been the best 2 days of my week, every week. So looking forward to a bit
I
of a break.
I wish I could say the same. Nah, jokes.
Get out. Hurry up. We've got a few co-hosts on here that we can just ring in and replace this man over here. He'll be away a lot next year, but we've got a big one planned for today too.
Yes, for our final show for 2025, have we got Union? Heaps of rugby union chat.
We're stacked for rugby union, actually. We've got heaps.
Because I'm scraping.
Oceans.
I am scraping the bowl for rugby league.
Scraping
for the first
the
time
bowl.
In the year. It's there. Yeah, we've got. But we do have some stuff to talk about. We're also going to give our dream team for 2025. So if you have been listening to our shows this year, during our Friday shows, we announce two players every weekend to add to our dream team squad. Today we'll be announcing our
my team is
Nijan Footy Rugby League 2025 Dream Team and Rugby Union.
Is your team stacked?
They are stacked, more stacked than your union.
No
team.
Way, bro.
My union team would beat your league team in a game of rugby union.
Both codes, hands down, 40-0. But what else is important that's coming up on the show outside of that is the Cape Town Sevens. So there's some rugby news for you. And we also have an unreal guest on the show. This will be the first of its kind.
Yeah, Sammy, how's your cooking skills?
I honestly cook a mean scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs?
Scrambled eggs.
Sourdough, toast?
Oh, I love a sourdough. A bit of focaccia bread as well. I don't mind that. But the key to scrambled eggs is making sure that you don't keep it on the heat for all the time. So you take it off the heat.
Let's get to our guest. Now, the reason why I was asking how Sammy's cooking was before he got to the details of his scrambled eggs.
Too excited there.
Our guest has just won the Australian reality TV show called My Kitchen Rules.
Primetime TV as well here in Australia, this competition.
And about 12 to 15 years ago, me and this player also played together at the Sydney Roosters, and his name is Will Mataka. Will has also represented Tonga, a former NRL player, and has just won the Australian reality TV show My Kitchen Rules.
Moment of the week.
We've had some big moments this year, Sammy. 2025 has been huge. 85 shows we covered this year across Monday and Fridays throughout the year. We've had 48 guests from league and union, even some NFL. We've had three other co-hosts replace us when we're out and about doing other things across the Pacific. We've had Will Hopoate, Shawnee Stowers, and my cuz Tupo Supawanga. So a big thank you to our three co-hosts who have helped us keep the show together. And our weekly experts, including Shelley Long, Nemani Kurunjani, Sala Tongatuki, and Totai Kefu.
Man, there's some outstanding names in that list. It's been an unbelievable year. And when you're speaking about those interviews, it still touches my heart every single time we speak to our guests and just hear about their journey and what it took for them to get to where they are today.
And a big thank you to all our guests who we've had on our show this year. They've all been great. I just love that we get to create this platform for the people of the Pacific to hear their stories.
Hi, I'm Tegan Hardigan, Bully Cooler Hooker, and you're listening to Niji Footy.
All right, T, I know you said you're scraping the bowl for some rugby league news, but there is some there.
There is some, yes. Well, I'm going to actually shift a little bit, like still rugby league related, but there's been some. I want to give a quick shout out to two Pacific men, one Cook Islander and one Samoan.
Just a Cook Islander, he's your cousin.
Yes, Teta Moana, Teta Moana, the future heavyweight champion of boxing. He had his fight on the weekend on the Jai Opataia card, who's my other shout out.
I thought you say your other cousin.
No, Teta Moana, he won. He knocked the guy out, and then also Jai Opataia with his big left hand knocked his
brutal
opponent
knockout.
So
absolutely
a big shout
knockout
out to those great men. But because the reason why I mentioned them as well, Nelson Asofa Solomona has decided to, you know, turn from rugby league and take boxing up as a new sporting
hands.
Career. Yeah, he wants to throw hands. So Samoan background, represents the Kiwis, also plays for the Melbourne Storm, but he's decided that he'll go to boxing. How do you think he'll go?
Well, he's a big human being. He's got a big reach. I would hate to be on the end of one of his punches if he did land him. But I just think in boxing, if you're not growing up on the sport, you're not living and breathing it from a young age, I reckon it's hard to probably go to that next level of say, like someone like Teta Moana. Mm. I just don't know if he's going to be of the same caliber. But, mate, he's a hell of a competitor and he's an athlete. So
I did hear from a former NRL player who did do some boxing, and he was saying that during his boxing career or his boxing fights, given the resilience that he had to overcome or the resilience that he built during his rugby league career, he thought that the boxing side, when it got tough, he could push through that when most others couldn't. So
I've got no doubt about that. I just think more like the finesse of boxing, like being an actual boxer.
Hey, there's boxing and there's scrappers, and if Nelson's a scrapper, I'm sure he'll be all right. But I thought that was some big news and some other points of rugby league news. We have Isaac Faasomaliawi. He's reportedly joined the Bears from 2027. Probably people don't even realize that there's going to be a new NRL team next year, 2020. No, not next year, the year after. So we're already preparing for the 2026. This time next year, we will have a new NRL team in the Perth Bears preparing for the 2027 season. And I think there might be only five players that have been announced that have signed for that team. They're training. They'll be starting training in about 11 months' time. So
it's a long preseason, that one. And Isaac, is it Tino's brother?
Yep, Isaac is Tino Faasomaliawi's brother. So big news there. Finally, I thought we'd give a quick wrap-up on this season, the 2025 season in rugby league. So I've got a few things here. The first one is most surprising team. For me, I had the Raiders. After watching them in round one, Las Vegas, their performance when they beat the Warriors in Vegas and just the intensity that they played at, I thought there's no way they'll be able to play at that pace for the whole season. Now, someone mentioned towards the back end of the season, all of those players are young and have youth, and they end up going on and winning the minor premiership, but playing at that intensity through the whole season. So they were my surprise team for 2025. I also thought Dolphins, that patch where they scored, when they were scoring 50, 60, 40 points in a game, that was entertaining to watch. So those two teams were my most surprising teams. Biggest disappointment, I mean, you probably can't go past the wooden spoon, Newcastle Knights. I know they had their struggles, but they did finish in the top eight the year before. So from falling to the bottom of the ladder, I think they're going to turn things around next year though. But they were them and Manly. I'm always used to seeing Manly in the top eight, but I know with the injury of Haumole Olakau'atu and some, you know, those interruptions, they didn't even make the final. So again, I think both teams will have a big season next year, but they're probably my two disappointment teams. And then the last one, who do I think is going to have a big 2026? Now, I know, yeah, very biased, red, white, and blue, diehard, me being a former Roosters player, but they've just got Daly Cherry Evans from the Manly Seagulls to guide Sam Walker, those two on the field at the same time, and they've got the New South Wales State of Origin hooker from the Cowboys, Rhys Robson. That's your spine with James Tedesco, current this year's Daly M medalist. And then you surround them with that forward pack of Nalfahu White, Spencer Lenu, Angus Crichton.
So what you're telling me, you're saying they're going to win the competition. That's your prediction.
Roosters 2026.
Champions.
To put it to the Brisbane Broncos, who I think is still going to have a big year as well. So those are my two teams. And that's me done. Rugby league.
Rugby
until we
league.
Get to our special guest, busted. Will Mataka, here on Nijan Footy.
Hey everyone, it's Dudley Dotto here from the Townsville Blackhawks, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Rugby union, Sammy.
Rugby union, T. Well done on the wrap-up throughout the whole year. You did a fantastic job. I learn about rugby league every single time we do a review of one of those games. But rugby union, we do have some games actually happening at the moment. We've got the Cape Town Sevens. That wrapped up over the weekend. And in the women's, Australia were crowned champions, winning 26-12 over New Zealand. Fijiana, they had a big win over Great Britain in their seventh place playoff, winning 43-7, and are now sitting sixth overall in the rankings after two rounds of sevens competitions completed. And in the men's, the home nation, South Africa, won, beating Argentina 21-19. And Fiji came away with another bronze against the same opposition 2 weeks in a row, beating France 26-19. And even though Fiji haven't won a tournament yet, they are sitting strong in second place overall, with the next tournament being in Singapore on the 31st of January. T. So that's all that's happening on field. But off field, the Rugby Union World Cup draw came out. So all the pools have been announced. And T, this is the first time in Rugby Union's history that they're going to have a Group 16 after the pool stages. So it used to be pool stages, straight into quarterfinals, semi, then final.
So it'll be straight into a top eight.
It'll be into a 16. So like
no, they used to do top eight. Top now eight. They're going pool straight into top 16.
So
how many teams in the World Cup?
24 teams. So they've added a few more compared to other
tournaments. So only eight teams are going to miss out on the finals.
Pretty much, but it takes them to a group of 16. It probably takes out the pool of death as well. New Zealand will play Australia for the very first time in a pool stage.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll be very even when it comes to those quarterfinal matches. So if we look at how it's set here, if we look at Fiji, they're in a pool with Argentina, Canada, and Spain. Fiji should finish in top two there. Tonga, England, Wales, and Zimbabwe. Tonga definitely have a chance of finishing the top two. Wales are struggling at the moment. They should get over Zimbabwe. Samoa, France, Japan, USA. That's a tougher pool because Japan are going to be strong. Australia have New Zealand, Hong Kong, and Chile. So the top two will go through, but there's also the four best third place teams will also go through. So I feel like it'll be very even going into the 16 and then into the quarterfinals. I think it'll be an unreal tournament where potentially our Pacific Island teams, especially Fiji, could do very well out of it if they get the right players at the right time. So will you be going to any of the games, T?
Sorry, when is it?
It's still 2 years away.
2027. In Australia, right?
In Australia.
And New Zealand, PNG, or just Australia?
Just Australia.
Okay. Are you going to get me some tickets?
Oh, we're going to go there for work. So we're in.
Oh,
we're going. Done. Done, dusted. So we're all looking forward to that one. But in other news as well, we always like to hear about pathways and opportunities for our Pacific Island talent. And when you're not playing Super Rugby, there's usually a third tier competition. So you have Test Match being number one with Wallabies, Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, etc. Super Rugby is a second tier, and then you have a third tier competition that you can play in when you're not playing Test footy.
So in Sydney here, we have
the this year we had Super Rugby AU. So the four Australian franchises played in a round robin game. So played four games.
Okay.
Without so their like test stars.
It's like your reserve
grade.
Yeah,
like reserve grade.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, they have the NPC.
Yeah.
And a lot of Moana Pacifica players chose to play in the NPC
instead of
playing test match footy.
Test match.
Now, the Australian government apparently have put in $150 million to support Fiji, Samoa, Tonga to potentially play in that third-tier competition to strengthen pathways into the test team and development programs. So,
also play in the Australia Super Rugby A.
Yes,
tournament.
Yeah, that reserve grade competition type of thing. So, which is good news, $150 million that will go into development pathways right from grassroots up. So I even believe that could be like under 18s as well, 20s program.
So it's to encourage the pathway system, not just to add these teams straight into that competition.
Or to do with pathway systems.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, as opposed to probably like, you know, $600 million going towards the PNG Chiefs. That's obviously a lot more than the $150 million. But this is a good start, especially having more avenues for professionalism for our talent on the islands to be able to get that exposure.
Grateful.
What is that a little dig there?
Well, I'm saying grateful, bro. Oh, yeah. It's $150 million more than nothing.
Yeah, you know, it's still a lot of money, but
exactly.
Do you know what, actually? Oh, you brought up a really sensitive topic here.
Wow. All I just said, grateful.
Yeah. Do you know who we need? We need this senator here, Jess Collins, who raised that rugby union is a national sport for Fiji, Samoa and Tonga, and should get more money, not just splashing it on rugby league. So she should be our new boss.
I've seen.
She should be our new Peter Valandis.
2 weekends ago, I seen one of the biggest junior tournaments that I've ever seen. And it represented the Pacific in rugby union.
Yep.
So you've got it in your own backyard.
I know. Give us some of that. Give us 20 grand. That's all I'm asking for from that $150 million to kickstart our New South Wales Tonga program. But that's it. Don't worry about everyone else. Just New South Wales Tonga. But then finally, to wrap it up, 2025 rugby. You did your rugby league one. I'm going to do rugby union here. My biggest, the surprise package for Super Rugby Pacific this year, I thought was Moana Pacifica. The addition of Artie Savare in that team really took Moana Pacifica to new levels. And that win against the Crusaders in Christchurch, some of the best teams in history have never won in Christchurch, but Artie and his men did the job in Canterbury.
Artie and the Moana Pacifica got non-rugby union fans watching rugby union.
You're not wrong. He did, and they did, get guys like, may he rest in peace as well, Fiji, George Vekoso, to sing in the change rooms. They had rugby league stars tuning in for both the men and the women. So it's going to be a big one for them for next year because Artie won't be there.
One of my Secret Santa gifts was actually a pair of Moana Pacifica shorts.
Worn by Artie?
Signed by Artie. Nah.
That would be nice, actually. It'd be worth a bit. But it's going to be interesting to see how they go next year without him. So who steps up? For the disappointment, I would have to say the Drua. I know they would have been very frustrated. Their mixed bag of results, still not getting that away win, still very strong in the Sugar City in La Toca. They have, I think they haven't lost a game in La Toca in 2 years. But I reckon they're in for a big 2026, the Fijian Drua.
And we won't see them at the back of a truck in 2026
too. Hopefully not.
Travelling to and from the airport.
First class now they'll be getting for sure, but I reckon they're in for a big 2026 with their new additions. So looking forward to the upcoming Super Rugby season for next year.
Well done, Sammy. Great work. Loved your work all year covering all things rugby union. Now let's get to this Nijin Footy All-Stars team.
The Nijin Footy All-Stars!
As I mentioned before, for a big part of 2025 on our Nijin Footy Friday show, myself and Sam picked players from league and union and added them to our squad. Now it's time to pick that team.
Who's going to go first? Who's going to do the honours?
You go first.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have a stacked team. My loose head prop, here we go. Crusaders, George Bauer. Fijian, absolute machine, came back from an ACL injury this year. So he goes straight in there. And to partner him at hooker, Fijian Drua hooker and who is now in Japan, Tavita Ikanevere. At tight head prop, Alan Alaalatoa, Samoan heritage from the Brumbies, the skipper. So that's my front three. In the second row, Tongan Tupouva'i from the Chiefs. Man, he was on fire this year. And to partner him in the second row, the one, the only big Samoan, Will Skelton, who we've had on the show as well. So that's our second row partnership. Number six, this was a tough one, but I couldn't go past one of the young guns from the Fijian Drua, Mesake Vodevode, who normally plays second row but can play in the sixth jersey. He's elite. I'm looking forward to seeing him next year. Number seven, Wallace Setiti from the Chiefs, Samoan. Fantastic player.
What number's Artie?
Get to him right now. Number eight, Artie Savea, and captain for this All-Stars side. So that's my forward pack. That's a strong forward pack that would beat anyone on any given day. So we get to our back line now. Jonathan Tamatine from the Moana Pacifica. This is controversial, this one, T. Don't at me. Number 10, family ties, first cousin, Patrick Pellegrini.
Patrick Pellegrini makes the team. Are you going to tell him?
I'll tell him that. He comes in at number 10.
He'd be honoured.
Yeah, he deserved his spot. He played well for Moana Pacifica. And on the wing, we have Fijian flyer, the man with the dancing feet, Sevu Reese from the Crusaders. Leniki Tau at number 12. He was probably the best Wallaby by far, Samoan. 13 was a tough one. I thought, do I go Joseph Suali'i, do I go Bundi Aki? But I went with the man from the Blues, Samoan, Rico Ioane. So he comes in at number 13. Number 14, controversial as well in a sense that he is not playing for Moana Pacifica next year, Kyren Tamoifalau. He's gone to the Chiefs, absolutely killed it, finishing off some amazing tries for Moana. And in at fullback for my last player for the starting 15, Super Rugby champion Fijian, Shay Fihaki. So that's my...
Happy with that?
I'm very happy with that team. Nice. Very happy.
That's cute.
Cute. Let's get to... It'll beat your team, that's for sure. And in a fight.
Let's get to rugby league. Now at fullback, I'm going with Isaiah Iyongi from the Parramatta Eels, also Tongan representative. At the wingers, for my wingers, I'm going with PNG flyer Xavier Coates from the Melbourne Storm and Mark Nawanganitewase. It would be silly not to add him to our team.
Crossfield kicks all day for both those wingers.
Scored one of the best tries ever in rugby league when he done that little chip grab, regather, run outside, score the try. At centre, I'm going with the Bulldogs captain, Stephen Crichton, and we're going with the Cook Island captain, KL Edel.
Yeah, he killed it for the Sharkies. And really in the Pac champs as well.
And yep. I needed a cookie in this team. At halfback, I'm going with Isaiah Katoa, your cuz. I thought he really stood up and had a huge, huge 2025. At six, I'm going with Blaise Talangi just to etch out Jerome Luai because I thought...
Back into the season.
The second half of the season, the way he started performing for the Penrith Panthers, huge season. So Blaze at my big man, number 8, number 10, our props, Adam Fanua Blake and Payne Haas.
Oh, shut the gates.
Two of the best front rowers in the game. We're going with RP Codicel, the Fijian hooker, at number 9. And my back rowers, Ali Katoa for the Melbourne Storm and Hamole Olakawatu. I know he had some injuries this year, but I just know when he's on the field, that whole team's different. So Hamole is in my team. And at lock, it was a close one between the Samoan skipper, Junior Bolo, but I'm going with Terrell May at lock because the amount of work that he got through this season, very underestimated. And then also, I forgot to mention, Daniel Tupou, I thought he was unlucky not to make this team as well.
It's a good team. That's a very good team.
That is my team for 2025.
Hey, quick one before we move on. Is Payne Haas, has he got any, was he born in New Zealand?
No, has he
got,
I don't think
has
so.
He got any Kiwi ties?
Don't think so.
Heard a rumour that the All Blacks are after him.
Okay, maybe.
A little rumour, but anyway. So I just want to add that. I want to add him to
the same rumour about R360 or?
Hey, it's still alive.
Anyway.
What a team. Perfect.
Let's get to our huge guest for today and our final one for 2025. Will Mataka from My Kitchen Rules.
Hi, I'm Sioka Besipalu, Wallaroos, and I'm listening to the Nation Footy.
Well, Sammy, I know you said you cooked some good scrambled eggs. And
yes,
I do a good 4 Weet Bix in a bowl, milk and honey.
A good 4 Weet Bix.
Yeah, that's my special dish. But our guest here on Nijan Footy, he's a friend of mine. I got to play footy with him at the Sydney Roosters, but he has just won the Australian reality cooking show, My Kitchen Rules, and his name is Will Mataka. Will, welcome to Nijan Footy. Appreciate you for jumping on, my brother.
Hey, gents. Thanks for having me on, man. Wow, that's one hell of an intro, T. Are you sure it's worthy of that, or is it like that's spot on?
Nah, that's spot on, brother.
You talking about the 4 Weet Bix?
Man. Excited to be on, boys. Yeah, 100%. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for your time.
Let's start with your culture, Will. You know, where are you from? Where's your family from?
Yeah, great. Both my parents are full-time. And they were born and bred over there. I was born in Australia, but my dad's from Elwa in Tonga, and my mum is from Navutoka. So one of the islands, you need a plane trip there. My mum's more of a city slicker, even though it's still 30 minutes from the main town, but I'm proud to be, you know, full Tongan. I'm glad I can actually speak a bit of the language, not fully, but I'm definitely better than all the Gen Zs at the minute.
Gen Z then?
Proud to be full Tongan and obviously grateful for them moving over here and, you know, making a great life for not just myself and the siblings.
How many times have you been across to the kingdom?
The last time I went was in 2017. Before that, it would have been like, you know, every second year because, you know, we've obviously got to go there, see Mum's family, but the last time I was there, I was vegan.
You're vegan? The vegan Tongan.
The vegan Tongan chef.
That does not sound like it goes hand in hand. That does not sound like a good combination.
No, and it was just before we went there that we had watched this thing on Netflix and everyone's going like, oh, we can't eat meat now. And we have to eat everything, you know, plant-based. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but just at the time, I'm not judging anyone. And so we rock up to Tonga with our newly found knowledge of, you know, what to eat. And my auntie looks at me and is like, what the hell are you doing?
I was going to say, what was that like with your family? Like, here we are, humble beginnings in Tonga, like where food is a staple. It's a privilege. Yeah. And then you're, you know, coming over and they would have prepared all this food and then you're politely trying to decline and say, no, I'm vegan. Like, how did that conversation go down? I can only imagine the looks from the aunties.
Oh, the aunties looked at me like the most judgmental and like nothing short of disgust.
did you ever get asked to jump on the puaka with the pig on the spit and have to
tunu puaka
and have to turn the pig over the fire?
No, that was already cooked because, you know, that's a long process. But the lul, when we make lul, which is like, you know, the taro leaves wrapped in either lamb or corned beef or just even just onion and coconut cream, I had to make that. So I had to eat all the ones that didn't have meat. And that was painful, bro. That was really painful. I'll go one step further. We went out to a restaurant and we ordered a pizza. And we're like, can we put... Now, Tonga's not a place where you go to order pizza.
It's not.
But to ask them to take the cheese off?
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, man, what the hell were we doing back then? So the pizza came out with just toppings, a base, but no cheese.
To make it clear now, you're not vegan anymore?
Straight after that trip.
Absolutely not. Big ups to all the vegans out there, like being creative with their food. It's not for me.
Wow.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, that was the last time I went to Tonga. And it was an interesting experience, guys.
So both your parents being from Tonga, do you know the reasons why they moved to Australia to live?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, when I talked to my mum and dad, it was always for, you know, a better life and an opportunity. And they were hard workers. Like, you know, they actually moved here in separate times but met in Australia. But yeah, it was to work, and obviously the parents, my mum's parents moved over as well. So mum was actually working to sustain them, because that's just how it is with our culture. It's not, especially if you're coming from a third world country, and you're coming into Australia, you you see that work is accessible. It's obviously paying a little bit more than what you get at home, but also the cost of living is a little bit high as well. But it's, if you find the right job and you work hard enough, you can actually sustain it. So she had to look after her mum and dad, and then all her siblings come over a bit later. But in all of it, the essence was to find a better life and just get another opportunity at, you know, making money and working, you know, something better for them than their children.
We did mention you played rugby league at a high level, and mentioned T came up against you. I came up against you as well during school. But yeah, was the expectation growing up that rugby league was always meant for you?
I was actually all right at little athletics, but you know, when you're that young, you don't know what pathways it's going to go. Like, you know, I didn't know who was a leading athlete at the time who was in athletics that was making a living out of it. That was, you know, Pacific Islander or not. You just see a lot of stuff on TV or on the Olympics. But and then footy started to come hand in hand with that. And then when it starts getting into the rep stages, that's when it starts to get a bit more serious. And then the expectations start to come from there. And so parents will always be like, okay, cool, we're going to St. Greg's. It's a great school that you get a great education, and there's a good football program there. And obviously in that 6 years that you're there, there's other people doing the same thing. And you sort of get past the Harold Matt stages. Then you get to the SG ball, which is, you know, can make or break, but doesn't mean it's necessarily the be-all, end-all of where you end up in footy. But after SG ball, year 12, Australian schoolboys, then it was like, okay, we're going to make an income from this. So you better excel. And that was probably the expectations my parents had of me. Was it fair sometimes? Probably not. But, you know, what have they got to work with? They came over here working hard, so they would expect the same thing from myself to sort of help them out as well.
When you reflect on your professional rugby league career, was it everything that you expected growing up?
No. No. Because you only see the glitz and glam on TV. You don't see pre-season. You don't see the 9-hour days where you're on the field. I'm not saying it's any different to any other job, but there's a lot of hard work that goes into pre-season and preparing your body for 26 to 30 weeks of back-to-back games. And, you know, there's potential for injury, but it's definitely not what I expected.
What challenged you the most, your mindset the most in that bubble of the NRL?
Probably the social life. That challenged a lot of the professional expectations that, you know, the sport or the club requires of you. Because you lose a lot of your social life, especially coming straight out of school. You go straight into training. It's a 9-month turnaround. So you lose a lot of your social life, which is fine. It's a sacrifice you have to make. But it definitely did challenge a lot of me being a professional. But you've also got a family that's somewhat relying on you for some financial help. And that's just real talk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's, yeah.
So you got to play a few games at the West Tigers, and then you go to Sydney Roosters, play a couple games there. What was the moment like, or the transition like, for you coming out of the game?
So we started the West Tigers 2007 to 2010, played a handful of games, went to the Roosters, played a year, met you there, T, another handful of games. Now,
had some good times.
It's a really short stint in the scheme of things, because then I went to France after that for a year, came back, and then I finished with the St. George Dragons. Didn't play any NRL. But in that final year, that was probably the most challenging year, one of the most challenging years of my life, but probably the most defining one as well. 2014, Dad passed away in August of that year, and the latter parts of the season were probably my best. And there's talks about, okay, we need to perform really well here on in. You're playing good, but you're not playing great enough for clubs to be like, we need to sign him. So Dad passed away. I'm playing reserve grade, not even getting on the bench for that. And, you know, I'll never forget it. Paul McGregor, pulls me into the office, and I go, Mary, just be straight with me, bro. Just tell me what I need to do. He goes, Will, I'm going to tell you straight. You either start looking for work or find another club or play really well, you know, to really show that we can keep you. But this is like round 18, 19, you know. July 30 is already, June 30 is already gone. And then after that, I pretty much made a decision, okay, this could be the end. This could be the end of, like, you know, my footy career right now. And it ended up being the end of my professional footy career. at the end of that year. And then Dad obviously passed away. There was a lot of tension at home, man, because he got a lot of money coming in. And then once that dries up, where's it going to come from to sort of sustain or fulfill, you know, family's expectations? Like, this is coming in all the time. And so there was a lot of tension at home, probably to the point where there was a lot of arguments where I was actually asked to leave home. And that was hard. Car got repoed and got a job. Footy's done. Dad's gone. Like, what do I do from here? And there were some dark days, man. There was like some dark days there of really like, wow, all that to come to this. Is this what life's all about? Is this it? I remember those days where you're just walking up and down. I'd leave my bag near like a St. Vincent de Paul bin just in case if they want to take my clothes, they can take it. And I'll just sit at bus stops or just sit somewhere for long hours of the night, or I'll just go back to mum's and hide in the shed, sleep there and leave in the morning. But that went on for like a week, you know, week or so. So it's quite a blur because it's like, wow, like you're proper hopeless. And it wasn't long after that that I just rang my agent. I said, bro, this is what's going on. Then I signed with Mounties.
Man, holy, wowee. Yeah. So you were asked to leave home because the money wasn't coming in anymore because you were the main breadwinner? Is that...
No, it was more of the tension, Sam. There was a lot of tension at home between mum and I. And, you know, we would exchange words and say things that we probably regretted. Yeah. And obviously we got the siblings there who are still young. Like, you know, my brother would have been like 15. Yeah. And my sister would have been 17 at the time. They've obviously lost a father as well. And so they're young. You know, they're young. And seeing the tension between mum and I, like, was pretty hectic, yeah.
How much did that hurt you inside? Knowing full well in our culture, our mothers and our families, everything, but, like, deep inside, that's what it's come to. Yeah. How much did that hurt you?
Bro, I was broken, honestly. I was broken. And, like, obviously, when I was asked to leave, I was like, where am I going to go? Like, I can't go anywhere. I haven't got a car. I've got no place to stay. And so it was just like a quick reaction, pack a bag and just walk. And then I called a mate. I'd stay at his a couple of nights. Some days I'd be doing the bus stop thing. But I didn't want anyone to know what was going on because no one wants to be – you've been, you know, in sport. You've been at the pinnacle of it. At times you weren't, but then to be – what's Will doing now? Bro, the man's homeless. Mm. Yeah. It definitely broke me having to hear that, but – I don't know, I just had to get myself out of it.
It would have been a tough time, not only for yourself, but also your family. You know, it sounds like it was a dark time, but what ways did you, I know you called your agent, but were there any other ways that helped you come out of that dark point or out of that situation?
Yeah, definitely my close mates and just having a place to stay. I only told one guy what was going on. His name was Gus. I said, bro, this is what's going on. I just need a place to stay, just maybe a night here or there. And then we spoke to Mounties, and they actually said, look, we'll give you a job and you can, you know, sign with us. This is the matches, all this sort of stuff. And I was like, no way you're going to offer me a job. And I was just happy to be considered. And at the time, I was just seeing Holly. Mate, I didn't want any girl, but you didn't want any of this smoke, trust me. You didn't want this girl. Holly was definitely there through it all. And then when I signed with Mounties, this is what I mean. Things just fell into place after, like, I just decided, let's just get ourselves out of this situation. I'd say this happens to everyone, but Mounties signed, gave me a call. Yep, cool, we'll get you a job. The second training session I was there, because I was still living here and there, one of the boys said he had a spare room, and I was only just overhearing the conversation. And his name was Rusty, and he goes, oh, bro, we've got a spare room if you want a room. Just pay $110 a week. I was like, no way. I'll take it. Trust me, I'll take it. You don't want to sit at a bus stop all night. Trust me, I'll take that room. pretty much from the following week, I had, like, obviously a good job. It was 6 days a week metal roofing, and, you know, I had the train. Like, there's no excuses. I can catch a train to work.
It's crazy to think that Mounties or a football club can then help shift the, you know, the lane of your life and end up, you know, where you are today. on the back of that opportunity, but also where it all started and where you were at that point. But yeah, it's always, and I love how you've reached out to your friends, because rely on having a good circle.
Some people don't reach out.
Yeah.
And they just try and go in within themselves and don't ask for that help. So it's, that's a testament to you as well. It's having the courage to be vulnerable and reach out for help. Can I ask, before we move on to your My Kitchen Rules stuff, what's the relationship like with your mum now?
It's great. It took a couple of months to sort of get there. Mum, brother and sister, they're all doing really well at the moment. But that required investment from everyone, myself included. So we had to sort of repair the relationship. But it's at a point now, I'm hosting Christmas every year now.
Makes sense that you're the cook.
Just send the address, bro.
Mum's finally giving it up. I was like, Mum, come on, man. I think it's time to give it up. Every time we come over, we're on eggshells because we didn't cook the right thing. I reckon it's time we give it up and I can host. And then last year I hosted for the first time. She goes, I've never been more happy walking back to my home. It's clean. I don't have to clean up after everyone.
That's so true.
I've got a doggy bag and I don't have kids running around.
Oh, man.
The relationship's been repaired and everyone's getting along.
Oh, that's heartwarming, bro. And in regards to the cooking, you've got the bragging rights now. So
that's it, eh?
I think you'll be hosting more than just Christmas events, which shifts us to your My Kitchen Rules journey. Man, how do you get from former NRL, former rugby league player, to all of a sudden winning My Kitchen Rules?
Oh, it's the same thing, T. Like, if you're going to win something, there's a lot of prep work that goes into that. There's a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of work behind closed doors, and that's exactly what Justin and I did. We actually treated it like a competition and we treated it like an arena where it required us to perform. If you asked me 2 years ago, do you want to be on a cooking show? Hell no, no way. Like, I think I'm an average cook, but I don't want Australia to know I'm an average cook. But it all started with Justin getting approached and he said, we don't want you and your wife. We want you and another male. So he gave me a call and he goes, I've got something for us, bro. And I was like, what do you mean us? He goes, I've got this. What do you reckon? I was like, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And then obviously we got to talking and we got over. I was like, let's just apply. But, when you get approached, you sort of bypass the first maybe part. That's just my assumption. But then we got to the final stage and they said, you guys are on. I was like, no way. And so we started filming back in March, rookie cooks, but at the same time when we went from the 4 months of filming, man, we did a lot of cooking off the camera. So as you would with training for footy.
So you weren't actually like a chef or any like a proper cook before this?
No. You're actually not allowed to apply if you've got a qualification as a chef. I think it's part of the prerequisite. So we're just home cooks, bro.
Were you interested in cooking or did you have some kind of relationship with cooking?
Yeah, I've always loved cooking. Like, for as long as I can remember, my dad, used to make up these mad stews. I'm just like, I would never eat them because I didn't understand this because I'm used to McDonald's chips and fish and chips, whatever. He cooks up these mad hearty meals and I'm like, yuck. But then you look back at it now, it's like, those were like, that's what you need to eat. But he would make chop suey, loo, all the Tongan food that I grew up eating came from dad and it came from mum. So I adopted that. And then I like smoking meat. And so I just thought I'd explore that. I love making pizzas, explore that. If I was asking myself, am I ready for the show? I'd be like, yes, somewhat. But I still need to do some work. Yeah.
Did you ever get to incorporate some of the Tongan dishes or some of the flavors into the show?
Smoked horse, something like that.
Did you tell them that you ate horse? Hey,
the French eat horse, man. So Manu would have been down for it. No, I think the only Tongan thing I did was at the start, which was the otaika. Obviously we have to come up with a lot of recipes. And I wanted to showcase otaika. It was probably one of my favorites. And Justin, with his South African background, they've got a range. Like they've got a range of things that were, ready to go. But, yeah, I was glad I got the otaika in there with the taro crisps.
So you win. What did you receive for your prize? Did you receive prize money? a contract. Yeah. Yeah. What was
yeah, the? Yeah. Fortunately enough, we won $100,000 and we split it down the middle. You know, obviously my wife's already spent that mentally.
So. Did you say mentally? So it hasn't cleared yet. The check hasn't cleared.
It's all cleared. It's just paying for all the IOUs.
There you go.
So $100,000, and obviously it gives you a boost into what you want to do in the industry, and a little bit of notoriety. But Justin and I definitely want to explore that, and you know, continue to make food content and see where they could take us from here. So it's one thing to win it, but it's even more work to take it to the next level.
Yeah, it's like the old footy saying, you know, it's hard to get there, but it's harder to stay there. So
absolutely,
yeah, your journey, 100%. Man. If it was easy, everyone would be up there.
Hey, I just want to ask you now that you've gone through some massive highs, some lows. I guess what stays true to you, like in the midst of all that, like no matter if you've got everything at your feet or you've lost everything, like what has stayed true to you to be able to be where you are now?
Jeez, what a question. There's a whole range of things. Obviously, in the early stages, there's family, and being able to commit to that, to be a part of it the rest of your life. And then you've got your wife and your children. You see that later in life, or somewhere later in life, and then you've got more friends and family who are invested in you that sort of jump alongside you to finish the rest of your life. So if I could put that into one word, it's definitely your family and friends, if I could explain it that way. Because you can't do it alone. There's no way you can do anything in this world alone. You have to have people around you that are willing to pick you up, people that are willing to tell you straight, like, bro, like, that's not, trust me, I don't think that's good. Like, just as simple as that, or, you know, being able to, you know, support you when things were really dark. And I think you've got to have a little bit of self-belief and trust that you've got the ability to get through anything. Trust me, there were some dark days there, Sam. See, and it all started with me making a decision, let's get out of this. But I couldn't do that alone. Like, I needed people around me to sort of navigate my system. So I feel like it's, you know, if people are going to try to do it on their own, it's definitely harder, not impossible. When you get people around you and you start, you know, repairing bridges and you start getting people that are actually for you, around you, to either speak life or challenge your decisions sometimes in a good way, man, I think you'll be on a good ride after that.
Oh, Will, man, what a chat, bro. It's been an honor to have you here on Nijan Footy. And I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but you're also our last guest for 2025.
What a way to finish, man. What a way to finish on a bang like that.
But again, man, it's been a huge honor. You know, proud of your journey and how you've overcame those dark places. But to see you, you know, your success, you deserve all the flowers, my brother. And thank you for joining us here on Nijan Footy.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thanks, Sam. What
much love, brother.
This is Nijan Footy.
Yes, our final time for the year, our game of categories, 3 points up for grabs each week. The loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day, dinner. I know we're catching up for lunch later this week, Sammy. Maybe that's on the... That could be it.
I think I still owe a lunch from last year anyway, or one of us do.
And we will be getting these tattoos as well,
Sammy?
Yeah,
some point.
But, look, it's 42-all. And you just need 1 point, so it ain't going to be handed to you.
Just the one, eh, Jake? And just the one?
I just want to mention again, Will Hopoate, you've absolutely screwed me this year. Oh.
Stop blaming other people for your lack of knowledge in rugby union.
I'm not having it.
Anyways, I gave you those points last week too to even it up.
What I'm going to do is try not to go on that many.
Try not to have a cry. How about that?
What are they called? Work trips?
Coffee clubs. Coffee
and
days.
Miss these episodes because this is what happened.
Junkets. Kentucky tours.
Anyway, Sammy, let's get to Give Me Three. Do you remember our first guest of 2025?
That's a negative. Is that what? Is that the first? Well, give me the question.
Give me the first three.
Give me the first three guests.
Guest of 2025.
Oh my goodness, that is testing the memory.
Do you want me to make things easier? Are you actually really struggling? Have you gone blank?
Give me a couple of clues, as in, like, is it male, female, rugby league, rugby union?
Okay, you either go clues or I make it easier for you.
Oh, I want to. I like clues.
You don't want to make it easier?
No, nah, make it interesting.
Wow, I was going to extend the top three to another number.
Just give me some clues.
All right, some clues. Okay, what do we got here? One of these guests are a former rugby league player.
That's your clue.
Well, it's either current. It's either current, so former, and then we've also had staff members, and we've also had rugby union and rugby league.
Former rugby league player.
Former rugby league.
Give me male or female.
Male.
Male, and that was the first one for the year.
So I've pretty much narrowed it right down from down to like out of 100%. I've knocked out 80%.
I'm gonna get none.
Give me some guests
from I'm trying to even think. Did I get the guest or did you get the guest?
I don't know. Did you or did I?
I get most of the guests.
Yeah, do you?
I do, actually. Hey, we've got a tally here.
Well, your favorite, Mark Nawanganitawase, was mine.
Oh, please. I planted that seed ages ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, I'll give you a clue. Summer sit downs.
I'm trying to think who was that. Oh, Keith Peters.
Keith Peters, you're locking Keith in?
Oh, I'll lock Keith in.
Keith Peters is incorrect.
Oh, what number was he? He would have been fourth or something. We had 10 of those. Who was first cab off the rank? Wait, give me one more clue, bro. Like, I'm absolutely struggling here. I'll give you that much. It was a good question.
You know what? You'll be pretty filthy if you don't come up with it.
Who is it? You know, one thing that really annoys me is that grin that you do at this stage.
Wait, how bad is it, eh?
Those grin where you're chuffed about yourself.
Because I know the amount of preparation you would have done spelling all the guests' names.
Nah, trust me, I didn't do any prep around spelling, that's for sure. I just concede straight away when it comes to spelling. I've got, nothing. We're stuck on a draw. We're splitting the bill. How about me and you just go? Don't worry about the partners because I didn't tell my wife anything.
So the very first guest you got, Dave Tuinavae.
Big Dave. Conquest Gym.
The Samoan former player based in Gold Coast. Hello, Eddie.
Huh?
Eddie Pettibone.
Oh, Eddie Pettibone. That's right.
And then the last one, which is the most disappointing one.
Who?
Is actually your cousin.
Who's my cousin?
Who's your cousin?
Alana Sikimithi.
Come on, man.
Patrick.
No.
Oh. How many cousins do I have?
Come on. He was on our summer sit downs too.
Who's? Oh, Sione. Sione Katoa. Oh, my goodness. My memory. That's a long time ago.
That is a great way to finish up the year.
No, it wasn't a great way to finish up the year.
I'm walking out of the studio.
But that's a draw.
Chest high, chin up, and let's go enjoy our spa together.
Yeah, let's go together.
Actually, you know what we'll do? We'll shout our producers.
Yeah, let's go. Oh, we'll go as a trio. Get a spa.
That is what we're doing.
Perfect massage. We're on. But that's our time up for 2025. It's been an amazing year. We really appreciate everyone listening, all our guests, everyone involved. And make sure you tune in next year. Find us on your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website.
And if you think 2025 was big, wait till you see 2026.
Let's go.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.